Wednesday has returned. Goodman and Parrish are back. You're listening to the CBSSports.com College Basketball Podcast. Thanks for coming back around. Hope you enjoyed Bill Raftery from Monday's edition. That was a thrill and a historic moment for me to get that guy on. He was awesome. So if you haven't listened, feel free to go into iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. Just search CBS Sports College Hoops, College Basketball, something of that variety. It'll pop up and appreciate that. Feel free to rate it at 5 stars, even though today's, I know that the Wednesday podcast can be a little irregular, but it's always a good time. Parrish and Goodman are here. Parrish did a lot of traveling last weekend. Goodman does some this weekend, and it's kind of slow. There's not a whole lot of games, which means we basically give Parrish a reason to storytell here, because there's so many finals happening that we have less than 100 total games this week, and not a lot of them are of the must-see variety. So, fellas, good to talk to you again. How are we doing?
Excellent. What is going on with you, Matt Norlander?
What is going on with me? I tell you what, real quick here before we get to the games, I went to get the Christmas tree yesterday, and it's probably because I'm stupid enough to live in, you know, this affluent part of Connecticut and don't really have the money to afford such a lifestyle. But Parrish, how much does a Christmas tree cost to buy in your area?
I don't know. I don't get involved in those types of purchases. I'm in charge of buying them, but I don't really know. I'm not in charge of actually acquiring them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I get you. So I get this, like, tree.
I could give you one of our Christmas trees. I have, I think there are one, let me count. One, two, three, four, I think we have 5 different Christmas trees.
No. Right now in your house?
Our home right now, yes. Decorated, 5 different ones.
Wait.
Seriously? My daughter, you know, obviously we celebrate Hanukkah,
and
my daughter kind of wants to bring in like a Christmas tree and put up lights and all that stuff. I'm worried though, like if I try to put up lights or something, I saw my neighbor, and I just moved in last week, I saw my neighbor climbing on his kind of roof, putting up lights. I mean, you know me, like I'm going to fall, I'm going to break something. I'm not doing that stuff. I got to hire somebody to put up lights.
Yeah. Like I can't do any of that stuff. And not because, I don't really care about it that much, so that I have no motivation. But B, I'm actually not capable of doing it.
Labor, yeah.
So like, but
you'd electrocute yourself, right?
I just don't know how to do it. Like, you know, I think you need like a staple gun or a nail gun. I don't know what you need, and I don't know how to do it anyway.
Staple gun. Can you picture Parrish with a staple gun?
This is out of my range of talent, and so. But I did. I went out of town. I come home, and there are Christmas lights outside with, like, spotlights on, like, different wreaths all over the outside of the house. And then there's 5 – I'm counting that there's 5 Christmas trees decorated in
Kelly, you know, did it all?
Yeah. She gets into the stuff, man.
Yeah, but I don't get it. Like, are they – do you got 5 Charlie Brown Christmas trees? Do you have one, you know, king tree that's 6 feet tall and a bunch of little, like, shrubs around it? Well, how are these set up in your place?
Well, I think we'd have I think we could call – it's called two major trees. And they're similar. And we got a bunch of rooms where there's just stuff, you know? Like, you just, and I don't know why there needs to be a tree in every room, but it seems like there's got to be a tree almost in every room. So there's where I'm sitting right now. I'm downstairs, and there's actually 3. I'm sitting in a chair where I can if I look around 360, I can see 3 different trees right now. All right, so there's 3 here, and then there's my son's got his own tree in his bedroom for whatever reason.
He got his own tree.
There's another one at the top of the staircase.
Like, what kid wants their own tree? Like my daughter wants her own TV in her bedroom, not her own tree.
I don't understand any of this. I mean, I'm with you. I don't get it. I mean,
like,
I don't.
What would you want? A tree? Like, who cares about a tree in
your
bedroom?
How do you even have enough ornaments for this, dude? Like, that.
Listen, there is no. Dude, you have no idea. Like, Kelly, she has enough ornaments for everything. And she has enough things with the name Parrish. Either painted on it or engraved on it or whatever.
How much money do you think she spends on all these ornaments?
This whole thing has probably cost me no less
than grand?
$800,000.
$800,000.
It's ridiculous. So do you, I mean, come December 25 here, are we, you know, is there a variety of presents under each tree, or are we going to one here? Because that's the other problem.
I, I don't know how she does it. I don't understand the purpose in any of this. We had like a charity event at the house last night. So I think some of it is motivated by that, you know, like she has to show off 8 different trees to people when they come over. So I think a little of it motivated by that, but some of it is also like she just enjoys this stuff. I mean, I don't know. Like I can't make sense of it. I just purchase it.
Parrish, the posh house of the neighborhood, holding charity events at his place. Listen, great on you for doing that. I just can't picture you being like,
oh, what you keep saying. I can't picture you, and you're right because it's not me. It's got nothing to do with me.
But you're still there. I'm still picturing you in the environment.
He shows up for 5 minutes and leaves.
No, I got here. You know, I have a radio show that goes till 6 o'clock, and so I got here at about.
You have a radio show?
Yes, you ever heard? Award-winning, highest-rated show.
Never heard of it.
Oh, we should talk about it sometime.
Yeah, let's do that next year.
So I get here at like 6:45, and there's like 60 women in my home, right? Some of them I know. Most of them I do not. And, of course, I look like a clown coming in. And so I went upstairs, and like I just sort of – we got into my son's playroom, and he and I just played the Call of Duty Black Ops 2, and I left all the women downstairs to do their whatever charity and whatever they were doing. I let them do it, and he and I just stayed upstairs and shot each other.
All right, good deal. Well, the point I was getting to was I thought like Christmas trees back in the day were like $15-$20, and I go and get this tree that's not even 6 feet tall, and it's $47. And I mean, it's the biggest ripoff ever here. I mean, you know. Maybe it's just me in Connecticut. I don't know.
Kill to only be in $47 on this stuff.
I know. That was before I realized that you've got a farm of foliage that's been brought into your house here. And then, of course, I tweeted out a picture here. I can't get the damn thing to stand up. I think I got it. It falls, collapses on my floor, pine needles everywhere. I spent 2 hours trying to put up a damn tree last night. And in the middle of it, I'm just like, this isn't worth it.
You get excited about that, though, don't you?
Oh, I gotta love the guy.
Like, listen, you look forward to this all year, putting up the tree and decorating it and all, right?
You toss on an ugly sweater, you play a little Christmas music.
Well, you don't have to toss that on. I mean, that's already on.
Exactly. You get it going. We're doing the ornaments tonight, my fiance and I, Diane. So I had to get it was 2 hours, no joke. I was like, please tell me no news is breaking because it was a mess. I debated.
Let me ask you this. How into this do people without kids get into it? Because though I'm joking about it now, you know, this is a big deal. I have a 9-year-old son. So, right. Like, Christmas is a big deal for him, right? Mm-hmm. But I wonder, like, if we'd have a tree if it weren't for a kid. How big of a deal is the holiday season for somebody like you and your fiancé who have no children?
I'd say it's somewhat of a big deal. I just genuinely enjoy Christmas. It seems to be in vogue in the past like 10 years to kind of be anti-Christmas. I've always dug it. I've got plenty of friends who were either just married without kids or engaged like I am, and they still get into it because we still have people over. So you want to have the place decorated to a certain extent here. So
do you walk around the house singing, you know, different Christmas tunes?
No, but
are you one of those down the street? That I mean, I walked around my new town the other day, and somebody was like belting out Christmas, just walking down the street.
They were not.
No. Swear to God,
you were not
down the street belting them out. That's kind of what I picture you in Stamford, Connecticut, doing.
Yeah, Buddy the Elf.
Ran into Buddy the Elf.
First of all, I got the guitar, so I play some Christmas tunes every
time. Oh God, you're Mr. Guitar.
Oh yeah. Hey, listen, that's how you get the girls, man. That is how you get the girls.
Listen to him.
Mr. Christmas guitar guy.
I got no shame.
Hey baby, let me get my 6-string and play Jingle Bells.
No, we don't do Jingle Bells. We do the high class stuff, you know.
What do you play?
You know, a little Nat King Cole Christmas, you know, the Christmas song.
We should do that next week on the on
Carol
the pod.
The Bells.
You should bring the guitar over.
Oh, yeah.
And play us a little Christmas tune.
How about I won't do that, but maybe, you know, I'll just switch up the outro music and I'll play it as a bed underneath near the end. We'll get something in there and I might keep it instrumental though. I don't want to go too nuts here.
No, I want to hear your voice.
You want to hear me belting
everybody
it out like
that? Everybody wants to hear your voice.
Like,
everybody.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah,
guy.
No, I've gotten requests.
Oh yeah, sure you have. Okay, we'll see what we can. We'll see what we can do. I'll try my best to embarrass myself all for the sake of this podcast and your enjoyment.
That'd be nice. I guarantee you that your numbers would go up.
Yeah. Okay. I can't get over you. I'm picturing something out of a musical, Goodman just walking and some guy just like kicking his heels high in the air singing Christmas tunes.
No, we've got like people on the street that just kind of play. It's a cool town, and it's kind of an old New England town, and I live about a half a mile from downtown. So you just go downtown, and you got people just on the street.
Hey,
playing,
we got people on the street
music.
In Memphis too, but that's like actually they're just there 12 months a year. That's where they live.
Yeah, this guy's been there almost every time we walk down there. There's one or two guys down there just playing music.
All right, I'm gonna go to the old internet adage and say video or pics or it didn't happen. So you're gonna need to bring proof for it for next week's podcast.
All right.
I want the proof. All right, let's move on to college basketball here.
Boo to college basketball.
Listen, always appreciated, Parrish.
Have you heard, Matty Norlander, that we have a new realignment guy?
We do. We can get into some realignment.
You know what his name is?
Feel free to let the public know.
Gary, otherwise known as Harry, realignment.
Oh, I hate realignment so much.
You're our guy.
But you wrote so well on it, Parrish. So, listen, there are plenty of listeners here that want to know what the hell is happening with the Big East. And both of you guys have talked to ADs and coaches here. What is the reality of the situation? Because right now people are wondering if all the Catholic schools in the Big East are going to fracture away or effectively dissolve the Big East, which has been around since 79. And they want to know whether that's, possible in the next year, 2 years, 5 years, or if it's overblown. So, Parrish, why don't you go first and inform the inquisitive public here?
Yeah, what I would say is this. For the past decade, this has been something that's been talked about because people always just said, I don't understand why the basketball-only schools wouldn't break away. But people always said it without understanding the reality of television revenue. And they would say things like, a league with just basketball schools, that would be an awesome league. Well, it would be an awesome league for us because we care about that. But for a television executive, not so awesome. The reality is whatever the best basketball game we think there is this weekend, let's say Florida and Arizona, right? You put it on national television and then throw up any bowl game on national television, the bowl game's going to win. Mm-hmm. Or any college football game is going to win and by a wide margin. And so I've always tried to explain to people that, yes, I see where you're coming from, but the basketball schools stand to make more money from a television contract playing with whatever football schools they happen to be involved with, as opposed to breaking away. And that's why they've never seriously considered doing it. I believe that after last week's report from our colleague, Dennis Dodd, that suggested that the Big East new TV deal that Mike Oresko is negotiating right now will only be between, at this point, it appears it could be as low as $60 million annually, somewhere between $60 and $80 million. That means that the basketball-only schools would only get between $1 and $1.5 million per year each. Right now they're getting $1.4 million. So there's a chance, in fact, a decent chance, that the new television contract could be worth less to the basketball-only schools than the one that they're currently operating with. And if you agree with me that the only reason the basketball schools have really wanted to stick with the all-sports schools is because of television revenue, if suddenly the television revenue is not there, then I think there's a real reason to look at maybe breaking away. In other words, I don't know what they could get on their own. You know, the seven schools could probably get a certain number on their own. The seven schools plus, say, a VCU, Butler, Creighton could probably get another number on their own. The seven schools plus a VCU, Butler, Creighton.
How big a difference? That's the question we don't know, is how big a difference is it going to be with all these crappy football schools you're adding
at this
point? That's my biggest question is, tell me what the significant difference is going to be right now. And then you got to figure out whether it's worth it.
Well, I can tell you this. Let's just play off of Dodd's numbers. If the number, let's just say it's $60 million annually for the league from a television network. Well,
all right, how many teams? How many teams are we talking?
No. This is for the Big East as it sits right now.
Okay.
That would put the basketball only schools at, I believe, around $1.1 million each per year. The Atlantic 10 schools, which is a basketball only league, they get around $350,000 per team per school per year. So the difference there is about, let's just call it an even $700,000. Okay, so that's that. If it goes up to $80 million per year, then the gap is obviously wider. But this is ultimately what they're trying to figure out. How much are we going to be able to get if we stay a part of the Big East as it is? How much are we going to be able to get if we broke if we were to break away? And then if we were to break away, are there any schools we could add that would add competitiveness to the brand of our league, but also add television dollars? In other words, you know, could they go get a Gonzaga or a BYU?
Not getting a Gonzaga because Gonzaga doesn't. You know that school. You were just there. They're not going to go and play in the Big East now or some version of a basketball only league that they've got to go all the way across the country. I know they got private planes. I get all that, but they're not. You got a better chance of getting, you know, a Dayton, a VCU. Obviously, you go after Xavier and Butler. Those are two that you go right after. I think you go 10, you know, you start with 10 teams if you're going to do that, and you get three good, you know, pluck three good schools that I don't think you go further than Creighton.
Well, here's what I would say. I agree with you that I don't believe Gonzaga would be a part of some new league with the current basketball-only schools of the Big East, but I think Gonzaga would be willing to do it under the right circumstances. Having been out there and talked to people about this exactly, I do think Gonzaga would be willing to do it. What I don't know is whether the Big East schools would be willing to do it, because it's one thing to ask Gonzaga to come east. They come east anyway, and they have charter planes. They could do it easily. You know, when you talk about flying to – you know, one place, it takes, you know, an hour, 45 minutes, and going all the way to the east, you know, takes 2.5 or 3. What difference does it make? I mean, you're on a charter plane. What's an extra hour on a charter plane? It doesn't really matter. I think the issue becomes asking all the Big East schools, a Seton Hall and a Providence, to go that way.
Exactly. Can they afford it? And then you're talking, how about other sports?
No, I'm with you. So that's why I don't – well, you could be creative in how you do this. I mean, you could just add Gonzaga in basketball the way, you know, the Big East has just added, say, San Diego State in football. Oh. So there's creative ways to do it. I agree with you on the bottom line, though. I don't believe that'll happen. But I think what the basketball-only schools are having to figure out now is okay, what – exactly like what you said. What's the gap? Okay, is it worth it if we can make $1.1 million staying with the schools – or 400,000 breaking away?
It's going to be more than 400,000 too. If the A-10, which got a bad TV deal, by the way, bad TV deal, it can do better than that, 350,000 per school, from what everybody's told me. And Big East still will have more cachet to me than the A-10. So let's say they make, let's just guess it at a number around 600,000 a year, okay? You're telling me they can make, they're making 1.1 now.
No, they're making 1.4 now, but it could go down to 1.1.
Okay, so let's say it goes down to 1.1. So you're talking the difference of 500,000 a year. All right, what I'm going to tell you is right now, the exit fees that these schools could get, okay, from Syracuse, Pittsburgh, Louisville, Rutgers,
Notre Dame,
and Notre Dame leaving, I'm told is significant, is triple that. Are they going to leave that on the table right now?
Right. And I think the other thing is, I actually think you can make a reasonable argument that if you're the Big East Catholic schools, you know, okay, you're losing those schools and that sucks, but you're adding Temple, which is a basketball program. You're adding Memphis, which is a basketball program. You know, so you're probably better off with Temple, Memphis, and somebody else, whoever you think's the third best coming in, than you are with, you know, VCU, Butler, and a third, right? So I still think you could be a better as good a basketball league with you know, and Connecticut and Cincinnati. How about that? So it's Memphis, Temple, Connecticut, Cincinnati. Those four, as your next four schools, are better than any four that they could add after they break away. So would you leave money on the table to walk away from what would still, you can joke about Tulane in Houston all you want, but would still probably be a better basketball league in terms of having better basketball programs if you stay together. The problem, I think, and this is where they're trying to look into the future a little bit, is, all right, we're cool with staying with the league the way it is, but what happens when we lose Cincinnati and Connecticut too?
Exactly. What happens to the league then? Yep.
And I think what they're trying to figure out is if we're gonna if we're gonna look up in 2 years, and Cincinnati and UConn aren't even going to be here anymore either, and we're going to be forced to make this move anyway, should we just go ahead and make it now? But I think there's but there are a lot of other factors that weigh in, some of which we've touched on. It's a very complicated issue, but I guess
You know what I've learned? You know what I've learned today? That you're really passionate about realignment.
Well, it's funny because I've got this script almost put together because living in Memphis and doing a radio show here, this is what we talk about. You know, people are obviously very, worried about the future of the league that they thought they were going to, because for nearly a decade they've been scratching and clawing and trying to get to a quote power conference. And they finally get there. They
announced not a power conference.
Not a power conference. The automatic qualifier status from football perspective is no longer there. Your big rival from the Metro Conference, Great Midwest Conference USA days, Louisville, no longer going to be there. Notre Dame no longer going to be there in basketball. There's at least a decent.
You know who's happy though? Josh Pastner.
I think he'd rather not deal with Louisville and Notre
Dame. You think so? Absolutely.
So yeah, but like. It's a very complicated issue, but I would say this. For the first time, I believe, ever, the basketball-only schools are seriously looking at this from every angle and saying, all right, we don't know if we're going to do it, but we need to look at it and try to figure out if we should.
It's for sure remains – this has become a trite word, but it remains a fluid situation, and there would be no – bigger symbolic or actual casualty from all this conference realignment crap, which started about a year and a half ago, than if the Big East actually dissolved. Like, if you would have said, like, 3 years ago, even 2 years ago, like, the possibility of the Big East might not exist in 4 years, I mean, people would not have believed it whatsoever. But now we've reached a point where there's something happening every other week, if not more frequently, that it's not only being entertained as a hypothetical, but it's something that people are actually talking about that actually might happen. And, if that does happen, we'll address it down the road. But that would be
You ready for this? Go ahead and bookmark this for 5 years from now. 5 years, there will be no Big East in terms of at least an all-sports league. Might be a basketball-only league called the Big East, but it won't be an all-sports league. And I don't believe there'll be an ACC either.
All right, we got you down December 12-12-12, Parrish.
The SEC and Big Ten and Big 12 will gobble up the ACC schools.
Will there be an NCAA?
Yes.
In 5 years, yes. But in 50?
In 50, I would say no. I would say no in 30 as well. I would say there will be something else that will.
They're going to break away at some point.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. It's just, it's like the iceberg. It's just little by little, here, chunk here. Into the ocean. There you go. All right, we're a month into the season, so I wanted to ask you guys some takeaways here, kind of some quick hitters. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run down some teams. You guys don't know the teams I'm going to bring up, which makes it more fun, but also kind of worries me that Parrish is going to pop up a team resume and he's going to have an autoplay video.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. You're going to hear click, click, click.
So but I'm going to make it easy on Parrish to start with, okay? Not that easy. I'm going to give you five teams and keep it under 30 seconds each. We'll do Parrish and Goodman, then Goodman and Parrish. 30 seconds on, if you believe in them or if you don't. So first team, we'll go to Parrish first. You just saw them, Illinois, go.
I believe in them that they're way better than we anticipated. They got a star player and a coach who has got those kids who quit on Bruce Weber to buy in again. That said, and Goodman and I argued about this earlier in the week on video. I think they're for real in the extent that that's a real basketball team. And they're going to be
a real basketball team. What does that mean?
You've said this exact same thing before on the podcast.
They're not a joke.
Parrish,
they're not fictional.
Are they an NCAA tournament team that can win a game?
Yes. Anybody can win a game as long as you're not a 16 seed. You can win a game. So, yes. But can they still finish fifth or sixth in the Big Ten? Yeah, but that says more about the quality of the Big Ten than it does about Illinois.
Yeah, I'm totally not sold on this Illinois team. I got to tell you. Completely not sold. They have Brandon Paul and very little else, especially up front. I like DJ Richardson, but he's never – kind of progressed into the player that we thought he'd be coming out of high school, is maybe a top 50 player. I like John Gross, as I equated it in the videos, to the fact of a you know, a double-A player coming up to the majors and you don't have a book on him yet. I think that's kind of what's happened with Illinois. People don't know their style yet, and I think these kids are invigorated by Gross.
Because there's no possible film of John Gross coaching at Ohio.
Well, not with this Illinois team. It's different. It's a completely different group. I mean, and they're veterans also. And let me tell you that. That's why a lot of these teams, you look at who's struggling right now and who's not, a lot of the veteran teams, obviously, Duke included, get off to great starts because they've got seniors.
I got to tell you, Parrish, never, ever ditch the "this is a real basketball team." That's just, I love it. All right, we'll stay in the league. Goodman first, Michigan State. And this is all relative. Obviously, a lot of people think it'll go to the tournament. But, you know, whether you think this is a team. Let's say, okay, Michigan State, Sweet 16 team this year, that caliber, yes or no?
I mean, they're also a real basketball team.
They are real. They do exist, yes.
They are a real basketball team. Michigan State's only going to get better. Again, because they lost their studs.
Oh, no, they're only going to get better. Can we say that about any team on December 12th?
Well, I think there's a lot of teams that are going to get worse.
Hey, thanks for your expert analyses, Goodman.
I think Illinois is going to take a step backward. I think Michigan State's
going to get worse. Oh, yeah, they're going to get worse. Illinois is going to get worse. Their record's going to get worse because they're undefeated, but they're actually going to become a worse basketball team?
No, I'm not. They're not going to win like they're winning. They're going to struggle. Michigan State is still figuring out their roles. Keith Appling's still kind of growing into being the guy. You've got guys like Adrian Payne that the lights got to come on. Gary Harris was hurt. Brendan Dawson's coming back still from torn ACL. The key there is leadership. Can somebody kind of grab hold of it? Because Tom Izzo shouldn't have to do it all, probably can't do it all. But they're a team that, again, they could easily be a Final Four Elite Eight team again.
They need a leader, Parrish. What do you think?
Are they a real basketball team, Goodman?
I already said they were a real basketball team.
Okay. Listen, I believe consistently. I think if you just assume that Tom Izzo's teams are going to be fine when he has the proper talent, you'll be right more often than you're wrong. He's got talent there right now, and I suspect they'll be fine.
Okay. Let's go west or Midwest first. 7-1 Oklahoma State, Parrish.
Yeah, I believe because I'm a big fan of players, and they got they got two really good players in Marcus Smart and LeBron Nash, and I think that Marcus Smart, we had heard so much over the summer about the intangibles he brought to USA Basketball and the leadership capabilities and the hardest, you know, he's the hardest worker, he's the best leader, he's the best teammate, he's the coach's favorite player. We'd heard all these things to where it almost had become like cliche to talk about all of Marcus Smart's intangibles. And yet, it reminds me, going into Kevin Love's only year at UCLA, all anybody ever wanted to talk about is, man, he can really pass the ball. He's the best passing big man in the country. And I got so sick of it because it was something that people started parroting, you know, even though if the people who had never seen him at the AAU level, they'd be just like, oh, yeah, Kevin Love, best passing big man ever, or in the past 20 years, or to come into basketball and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, dude, you just heard somebody else say that. You don't know anything about it yet. And that was, but everybody, you could not hear somebody talk about Kevin Love without saying that. And then you get him on the court and you go, damn, he really is, though. You know, I guess it's true. And it's sort of the same thing with Marcus Smart. People just kept saying, talking about his intangibles where you almost started rolling your eyes at it. And yet it has translated perfectly to the collegiate level. He's been, even though he's not making shots at a high level, I understand, he's been a spectacular leader, teammate, and point guard for that team. And I would take I believe in any team that's got Marcus Smart on it.
Goodman.
Yeah, I'm not at the level of Parrish. Again, Parrish would have like 126 teams in the NCAA tournament if you asked them right now.
So are they going to the – right now, 12-12-12, Okie State in the tournament?
Yes.
Yeah, they'll get in the tournament, but I don't think they're going to do anything.
Be about. You agree with me. Everything I've said.
No,
so
I don't. You think you again are hyping them up like they're going to be some friggin' Final Four team.
When did I say they're going to be a freaking Final Four team?
You'd love Marcus Smart. I like Marcus Smart too. I'm not sure I trust Travis Ford to get this team anywhere beyond maybe getting in the tournament and getting bounced early.
All right, now we go west all the way. Very quiet with good. Go ahead, Parrish.
I make comments about teams, and then Goodman adds like comments that I never said, but attributes to me, and then he argues against them. Like his big argument against me is that No, Oklahoma State's not going to the Final Four. I never said they were going to the Final
Podcast
Four.
Podcast magic right now. I love it. Quiet team out West, rightfully so, maybe in some ways. They do have a really good win on a road win at Vegas. 8-1 Oregon, Goodman.
You know, I'm writing about Oregon in my column that'll go up tomorrow, Thursday. And I talked to E.J. Singler the other day, Kyle's little brother. And this is a group that's intriguing. Again, they beat UNLV.
Hold on. I want to make sure I'm hearing this right.
Yes, go ahead.
You talk to a white basketball player?
I really? Talk to all sorts of basketball players.
Orlando, can you believe this?
I'm talking to Russ tonight. I'm talking to Russ Nicholas tonight.
Hey, does Rodney Clark know about this?
Listen, anyway, moving on.
Rodney Clark.
Oregon, the Ducks are an interesting team. And you know why? You know why, Gary?
Mm.
Because they have now players that fit Dana Altman. Instead of Jabari Brown, who was a top 25 player, and, you know, Olu Asolu that were just kind of, you know, scotch tape to try to get them competitive a year ago. Now he's taking guys that fit him. Their assistants are recruiting guys that fit Dana Altman a lot better. They're kind of grinders, more, you know, kind of like what he did at Creighton. And I'm not sure this team has the talent necessarily, although the addition of Arsalan Kazemi was huge for this Oregon team. And they could easily finish in the top three in the league.
Okay. Parrish?
I believe in them as a top three in the Pac-12 because the Pac-12 is not very good. I think if you took this Oregon team and put them in the Big Ten, I'd be more concerned. I'd probably say, nah, they're going to fall back to the pack and probably not make the NCAA tournament. But they get to play in the Pac-12. Congratulations to them, and I think we'll see them in the NCAA tournament.
All right, we'll wrap up with a fifth team. Our buddy Eric Prisbell at USA Today tweeted a little bit about the coach and players going on record about how good this team is, and there's even Elite Eight talk. So I'm going to ask for a percentage here. I'm going to rip off PTI a little bit. Maryland going to the Elite Eight, what percentage do you give that this year, Gary?
30%.
Okay. Why?
I like what Mark Turgeon's doing there, and
that's a good percentage, by the way. I mean, that's relatively high.
I just threw it out. I don't know.
Why say things you mean? Just give out.
Numbers. I don't understand how percentages work. Okay. So I mean, like, listen, like, you know, I do believe that if you get a decent seed in the NCAA tournament, one kid gets hot one game, another kid on another team gets another higher seed gets upset in the second. You know, like you look at Ohio last year. You know, they win their first game, and then their second game they get to play a double digit seed, so they're in the so they're a Sweet 16 team. You know, that's sort of the way this stuff works. So when people put the bar at like Sweet 16 or Elite Eight, my answer is always, yeah, I guess. You know, if the tournament breaks that way, they could get there, sure. But I do like what Turge is doing, and it's why I thought it was a good hire. I know he wasn't their first choice, not even their second choice, but he's a good basketball coach who's hired a good staff. They're getting players enrolled, and he's going to do a good job there. And you know, I think the proof of that or the evidence of that is it's already on the table.
Des Wells, by the way, gave the Elite Eight prediction to Prisbell. So, Goodman, give me a percentage, Maryland Elite Eight in 2013.
Listen, I'm not stupid. I'm not giving percentages without consulting with Ken Pom first.
Right.
But I will say that this Maryland team, I love Alex Len. I love Des Wells. I'm worried about their guards. I'm worried about Pishon Howard, who can't really score the ball. You can go under ball screens on him all day long. He's a decent point guard, but their guards just scare me. They don't have a guard that can go out and just get his. Nick Faust is kind of erratic. I still, if somehow Alex Len would come back next year, I think Maryland could be a team that could go Final Four. I think he's certainly gone. I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not giving you a percentage, but I don't love this team getting the Elite Eight this year.
Look at the cop-out, Parrish. What is that about? You won't even give a percentage?
I will not without consulting with my guy.
Okay.
That's my guy.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
Hey, I paid $19.95. I mean, I'm going to get my money's worth here.
Okay. I would guess Ken Pom would put Maryland in the Final Four at about 8%. That would be my guess. So we'll follow up with him and see what goes down. All right. I think that's it, guys. Goodman, you're going to Zona, right?
I am. I'm going to Arizona.
Your alma mater. How do they treat you there, by the way? You're persona non grata?
No, they hate me.
Yeah.
The fans hate me there because I've killed them. I've killed them for the last 3 years. So I honestly, when I went 2 years ago, I had to check in under a different name. They hated me.
Okay.
So
hey,
I think I'm okay. I think I'm okay now.
Harry,
I
got Andy Harry Glockner. Realignment. That's what you need to check in under.
Andy Glockner is staying with me Saturday night.
Like in the same room?
Same room. I'm gonna help him cut costs a little bit. He's staying with me. I just if he snores loud, he's gonna end up in the bathroom.
Jeez, man, have a blast.
Hey, Norlander, we got breaking music news. Have you heard about this concert tonight?
12-12-12 at the Garden. I know. I was kind of wanting to go, but it's too expensive. Yeah. Are you excited about it, or don't really care?
Well, no. Did you hear about? I don't know if this has just been announced. I'm just seeing it on Twitter. You ready?
Give it to me.
Nirvana reunion?
No, do not lie to me like that.
Guess who is going to be the front man in Kurt Cobain's spot?
Oh, geez, give me a hint that doesn't give it away.
He's a Beatle.
McCartney?
Paul McCartney.
He's going to sing as Kurt Cobain?
Yes.
With Nirvana?
Yes.
Get the hell out of here.
How wild is that?
I mean, I'm intrigued to watch it. I just don't know how that possibly works. You're serious about this?
It's on BuzzFeed, the Twitter feed.
Get the hell out of here. That's gonna be that'll be a pretty kick-ass thing. I mean, there's so many different acts. I mean, Coldplay, who I know Goodman's huge on. Clapton, Dave Grohl is going to be there, obviously with Nirvana and other stuff, but Springsteen and all this good stuff. So that's
what is it? It's at the Garden tonight.
Yeah, it's for Sandy Relief. So they got like this massive.
How much was it?
Oh, it was
a couple hundred a piece.
Yeah, I think 250 minimum or something like that. It's up there because I mean the lineup is ridiculous, and I think it's on TV. I might not be right about that, but I think it is. I think it's broadcast like around the world or something like that. So should be awesome. Pretty good. We'll save the year in music for next Wednesday's podcast. So Goodman, go ahead and look it up.
I'm gonna take the week off.
Get your ducks in a row here, and we'll talk about all about our favorite.
Goodman's favorite band that he kept trying to go see in concert all the time.
Goo Goo Dolls.
Love Goo Goo Dolls. Love them.
I love the Goo Goo Dolls.
Love them.
Hey, you should check out the Gaslight Anthem. You actually might like them genuinely. I'm not busting your balls here. Gaslight Anthem.
Gaslight Anthem?
They got like a Springsteen-type right. quality to them, so you might dig that. But anyway. All right, boys. I'm going to let you go. This was fun. Parrish, go tend to your trees. Make sure you keep them all watered. Don't have them dying on you before the holiday comes. And Goodman, good luck with Christmas, if indeed you're going to have to end up getting a tree yourself. So... All right.
I don't think we're gonna get that tree because I'm heading to Arizona. My wife could come. I mean, listen, every day now in this house, my wife comes home with something else. So there could be a huge tree in here by the time I come back from Tuesday.
As long as it's not another man, then you got nothing to complain, man.
That's right. It might be that.
All right, good deal, guys. Take it easy. We'll talk to you next week.